This is CliffCentral.com.
Yo, 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 yo. You are chilling with the boy, Malcolm Julie. We are in the building on Cliff Central with some super, super buff ass motherfuckers, man. Look, let me tell you, I feel like I'm at rugby trials at high school. Am I? I'm just about to get fucked up. Okay. Let me just quickly introduce them. Firstly, my name is Malcolm Julie, the host of The Worst Guys. I'm chilling with some buff-ass niggas who are going to teach us about fitness, physique, and all the likes, man. Let me start over here with you, Tobani. What's up, Tobani? What's going on?
Hey, what's happening? What's happening? Thanks for having me, man.
Easy, easy living. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Just a small bio. We'll go across the room, and then we'll get into the real shit.
Yeah, man. Tobani Moyo, 23, based here in Branson. Compete on stage, fitness model, and going into bodybuilding slowly, man.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Okay, wait, just because you mentioned it, you compete on stage and you're going into bodybuilding slowly.
Yeah.
What is the difference between the two?
Yeah, fitness is more like a natural kind of look. If anything, bodybuilding is a little more harder, tougher. And you know, the competition is definitely more heavy. You know, you got to also put a whole lot more training into it and a whole lot more eating. You know, so it's a whole different ball game from moving from a fitness model to a bodybuilder. No one can just do it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
We'll get more lifestyle together.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that, Chris. Introduce yourself, Chris. Tell the people what your story is, Ruben.
What's happening? I'm Christopher Diamond Obanama. I'm head of a Diamond Nutrition, director, and head coach. Basically changing bodies, changing lives. Started off fighting, boxing, MMA, that type of thing. Got injured, left that arena. Started coaching all types of athletes. Right now I concentrate on bodybuilders, mostly physique athletes, a few bikini athletes, and I'm actually a head coach for a high performance tennis academy as well, so I'd like to vary my stuff.
I'm not
pigeonholed, so.
Okay, from the sounds of things, it seems like you're primarily a coach. Is that what you love to do, coaching others and growing?
That's probably my passion. I like to see results. I'm addicted to results, so whether it's on me or a client or one of my athletes,
that's
pretty much my passion, what I do.
Okay, and tell me a little bit more about this Diamond Fitness Foundation.
Okay, basically it started off as just a nutrition store, huh?
Supplements
as well as nutrition, oats, we used to do rice cakes, everything, anything that got to do with health and wellness we used to do. And then it kind of branched me into the fitness arena. I was competing when I first launched the store. I actually just competed to get my brand out there and then decided, okay, it's actually not that bad. I'll do it again. And competed again, boosted the brand, and now we're looking at a new site to launch even further, even bigger. And now we basically house athletes, trainers, different types of supplement brands, top local and international, as well as we do online coaching department. So whether you're here in the USA or Canada, wherever you are, we can coach you as well.
Oh, do you use programs and the like if you're coaching people overseas?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's cool.
Online, anytime, anywhere. Like I was at a wedding in Prague, one of my best friends last year, and I was coaching guys in Cape Town from there.
With the laptop.
Making sure they're ready for the dropping water, what they're doing.
Cool.
Calorie intake.
No, that's dope, man. So tell me, how many people or how many athletes, more specifically rather than trainers, how many athletes do you house overall?
Look, I only do what I can handle. I'm not like some people who can bite off more than they can chew.
Yeah, the company itself, that's who I'm referring to.
We house now probably about five to ten.
Okay.
My limit's 10.
Oh, okay.
Because I can't give you personal, I know I'll be taken away from myself and taken away from you. So I believe in personal attention. So I like to give everybody their for a fair amount, they're paying for it. So I like to give them what they're paying for. And I believe that 10 right now, obviously Tobani is going to be my 2IC, so he'll take over from there and then we'll expand.
2IC?
Yeah.
What is that exactly, if
in
you
charge.
Can explain to you? Oh, second in charge. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
you've climbed the ranks there, boy.
He's graduating.
Ah, oh, that's cool. That's cool.
When you're a fitness model, I thought, shame.
he can
hit a few beach balls, but now that he's growing.
Yeah, he can actually be
time,
a real bodybuilder.
Keep it a town.
All right, cool. Okay, let's go to you there, Devin Stewart. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, brother. What's up? My name's Devin. I'm actually just from down the road in Sunning Hill. I study at the moment. I'm a student, and I've been bodybuilding for about 3 years now.
Wow.
I've been competing for 3 years now.
What do you studiate and where?
I'm at UJ, and I'm finishing my
BCom. Did you dodge the fire at the auditorium?
Yeah,
you had UJ, and you're studying?
I'm doing my honors in BCom Investment Management. So.
BCom Investment Management?
Yeah.
So you want to run your business, your diamond business. Maybe, you guys could set up a...
set up a whole tier.
Yeah.
Financiers, trainers.
Yeah, exactly.
You can handle the books, huh? I've got him here.
That's your thing. That's your thing on the side. Okay, cool. Yeah, yeah. So today we're obviously going to talk about health and fitness, which is what I believe is the primary focus of what you guys do. Because a lot of the times, and even myself, I've fallen prey to this perception, well, when I was much younger, is that people who are bodybuilders or the stage fitness physique models, I always thought that was for show. You just want to be the biggest guy on stage with the muscles that being ripped. Yeah, that's stereotypes. I had it myself. So to shatter the stereotype, I'll start with you, Tabani. What is that all about, that stage? Because I saw, I think it was a competition of yours where there were like 30 people on stage, man. There were so many guys. And I don't understand how the election process is, how you win. What it feels like to compete with so many people on one stage at one time. Give me the breakdown.
Yeah, basically, just in general, a lot of people can just kind of enter into some of the comps, but you just have to be affiliated with some of the bodybuilding affiliations or companies, if I can say that, you know. In terms of the guys, when you register, you know, when you get up on stage, it's not necessarily like an easy thing for, sorry.
Guess who's in the building? Hey, hold up, it's my boy, he's out here.
What's happening, good people?
Good living.
We're rather late than never, King. Yeah. Yeah. Testosterone overload in this place.
Dog, I was just telling these guys, I feel like I'm in rugby trials and I'm just about to not get into the first team.
Can I tell you why these guys chose bodybuilding? It's because they know they'll never make the box squat, bro.
I see you.
Here comes the banter.
This is what we're waiting for.
But how's it been going?
We've been good. Just chatting to the homies a little bit about what it's like to be on stage performing, or what exactly that is for the people who don't understand bodybuilding. We're just going to ask them, you know, what it's like to be on stage performing. So I was just speaking to Tabani. So tell me, there's 30 people on the stage. You're in the second row, right at the back. How do you compete? What gives you the competitive edge? What does it feel like to be on that stage, man? Tell me about it.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the hunger, man. You know, I'm one of those guys that likes winning. I'm not going to lie about it. I'm not going to pretend or anything like that. A lot of the guys get on there, you know, just to kind of get experience, or, you know, to kind of get ready for another show. But again, I always take each comp depending how small or how big it is. You know, I want to go out there for the win.
How long does it take to get ready for a show, would you say?
Jeez, well, look, a person like Rhea, takes 6 months. Just joking, man. No. But depending, there's different variables. You know, it depends on how much body fat you're holding. You know, depends on your muscle bulk, your actual physical structure itself. It could take 14 weeks for some guys, 12. And most likely, like normal people, could take 4 months for proper transformation, depending on you as well as the individual. Also, depending on your kind of coach that you have. You know?
Everybody's different, huh? Genetics.
Yeah, I always play a role. Like for me, my genetics is my calves. Like I know I've seen, because I did go to gym a lot. Now I'm more into calisthenics, body, like
functional
my
training.
Own, yeah, functional training, because I think that's what my body type is more suited towards. Maybe it's because I can't lift weights.
See, I see you as an Ethiopian marathon runner.
Yeah, that's kind of what I am now. But I'm trying to get Dak, dog. I need to get into the first team. Can't you see? That's why we got all these homies here.
Don't shush about the calf thing, man. It's actually just an all-round black thing. I'm not gonna lie.
You see, that's a boss-ass statement right there. So it is a black. Well, it's from black what hair, I've man. Seen, like we don't
look,
get the calves.
Look,
they had
to give you something negative. Because the rest of the genes.
Yeah, we got the rhythm. We got the most important one, the dick, obviously.
Rhythm and dick.
Yeah, rhythm and dick. That's all you need. You know, in the boudoir.
Yeah. As long as you get the dick, you use the rhythm.
Yeah. So tell me, you tell me the last competition you entered, which one was it?
Yeah, the last one I did was the Rossi Grand Prix, 23rd of April, placed 4th out of 33 fitness models over there.
That's dope.
Tough lineup. Actually, two of the guys were on the front cover of the fitness mag. You know, so it's not as if it's like easy guys, you know, you're competing against. You know,
yeah,
they
it's
also
not
come
shits
in,
and giggles. Huh?
Yeah, they come in tight sure. conditions as well. And then I did another lineup, which was slightly bigger than what I'm physically capable of, which is the muscle model. That's like a Yakuza Brains of the world, their kind of lineup, placed 6th out of the 15 muscle models there as well. So, yeah, man. That's
just to add naturally, huh?
Yeah. Wow,
that's
really.
That's a key factor as well. Yeah,
this is the baseline.
Okay.
Because we can step boundaries, we can do what we want to do and everything, but then I put a natural athlete against athletes that are currently...
Reducing. You don't want to say it. You don't want to call him out. Okay, listen.
You're using performance enhancing
drugs.
Yeah. I'm a doctor. I need to speak with
okay.
Top of,
so okay. Like, listen, because myself and Ria, but I've had this conversation before about the fact that there are athletes who are juicing in that industry, and it's sort of widely accepted. It's not really frowned upon because you're still working on your body that, 6 days, 7 days a week. So how do you feel about this?
Take an hour.
Well, just a quick about juicing yourself.
For the next show, we'll call it the Juice Guys.
Okay, but how do you feel? Juice. How do you feel personally about juicing, Chris?
Okay, well,
do all of your athletes do it naturally?
No. Okay, no. It was their choice.
Okay,
I'll never force anybody to take anything.
Cool.
A lot of people depend on it. I don't. I've seen what natural athletes can do.
Yeah.
Just as Tabani and Don have done.
Yeah.
Dev have done so, and that's all. Natural. Diet, nutrition, you have to put in a lot of hard work, but it's a lifestyle choice.
Cool.
When you want to get a certain level, like the pros that are just at the Arnold Classic this past weekend, they have to be on it.
All right.
Yeah,
I
that's
see.
Not really possible without...
Yeah, at that level.
Oh, is it just... You just have to...
You need to eat as many calories as possible to be that size.
Okay,
And every chemical plays a different part. People think you're taking something just to get big, but every chemical plays a certain part in a different performance.
Tone, size, endurance.
Calorie intake, calorie partitioning, everything.
Okay,
endurance.
Cool.
Look, and I don't mean to cut out anyone here, but let's not forget, man. Devin's one of the only guys that actually represented SA and won his category in the bodybuilding classic.
Tell us a little bit about that, Devin. I was just about to hop to you. Yeah. Just tell me what it's like to be a winner, to be a champion, because it's the IFBB.
IFBB.
Okay, what is that?
Internationals. Let's not forget that
international winner, and you came first. You know what? You deserve a round of applause for that, man.
That's some dope stuff.
International.
Bravo.
Too kind.
No, that's cool, man, because if it's international, means you're the biggest boss dog in the world right now. Yeah. You're like, well, you're competing at that level. In your class, you're competing at that level.
100%. So,
as a junior.
As a junior. Yeah. So tell me, what category is it specifically, and... how did you go about winning? How many people were there? What is it like? Is it a dream come true? Tell me a little bit of what was going through your mind throughout the entire process, from training to winning. Did you actually think you were going to win?
Don't forget about the Friday before.
So start at the beginning.
Well, I mean, to start really at the very beginning, it's you mentioned was it a dream for me, and I can definitely say it was purely because of the fact that. 5 years ago, I was in matric, and that was when we first heard that Arnold was going to bring a show out to South Africa. Back then, it was going to be in Durban. So a mate of mine,
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes, so the Arnold.
Just to clarify for all the chess players the out there. Yeah.
But basically, he was bringing out his show. Well, yeah, his big show to South Africa and Africa for the first time.
Yeah.
And it was a big thing, obviously. And so we were all very excited and planned to go down and make a trip down to Durban to be part of this first exhibition in Africa.
Does it happen in Africa? Oh, so this was the first one.
One in Africa.
Jeez, dude. No, mad props, dog. Setting the bar. Nice, man. No, really happy for you, man.
You
must be
really hot on your trail. Eh? I'm hot.
Ooh.
Rehab's coming for you.
You got a year to come for me.
all I know is you got to actually get a new suit, man. That's looking a bit too tight.
Hey. Aren't you back in the gym, dog?
Yeah, slowly but surely. But I don't want to.
Well, I'm waiting for you, dog. I'm still waiting. I'm waiting for you. We've been waiting.
So tell me the process from when you started. When you're like, I've entered this thing. I'm gonna speak to Chris now. Tell me, Chris, how am I gonna win this thing? What? How did that go? I'll start with you, Devin. What do you say to Chris? And then Chris, you'll tell me as the coach what it was like.
Of course, it's vital to have a coach. Your coach is obviously your major.
How does one go about getting a coach?
You know, that there's various ways of doing it. The main thing would actually be by word of mouth, from what I can say.
Is that how you
people
got
will upcome? It's the most trusted way to go into the gym. You're interested in bodybuilding and competing. You're going to start speaking to the obvious bodybuilders in the gym and who they train. And chances are you'll find a trainer that way. Obviously, there are other ways of finding them on the internet and doing the online coaching and so on and so forth. But for competitive purposes, it's very important that you have someone that you can trust, someone that you can communicate with openly. Yeah, hands-on and
with experience.
And with experience and like for example, so Chris wasn't wasn't my coach. But we obviously became friends because we train at the same gym.
Which gym?
Virgin Active in Chili Lane.
Chili Lane. I've been to that Virgin Active before, but I'm moving to the one in Waterfall, man. Because the Waterfall one has all the celebs, all the swaggers there.
I just want to clarify for Bryson, we got the celebs, okay? We got the pros. I don't know about all these other.
Okay, so tell me, best gym in Joburg that you know of. I'll start with you, Tabani. We'll go around the room all the way to me. Start with you.
Best gym in Joburg.
That your favorite gym to gym at?
I won't lie, definitely Bedfordview. It's the rawest gym out here.
And the Betty's at the gym? At the Bedford gym? Because for me, I'm going to compete with the Betty's. You know?
Listen.
You're going to go to peak hour. Wait,
it depends on us. I'll say, like, I like my snowflakes.
Vanilla killer.
So they like their chocolate out there. So that's why I'm out there.
In the south side.
And yourself, Chris?
I do like Grayson. Grayson Virgin Active as well as
On William Nicol, well, right?
Yeah. No.
Grayson Drive. That's obvious.
Grayson as well as a Bedfordview, just because they got more old school equipment. It's not all this keep safe ergonomic shit.
I've seen stuff
that you can hurt yourself on if you don't know how to use it.
Most
guys that know what they're doing will prefer to use the old leg presses, the hack squat, and all that type of stuff instead of using this safe stuff.
The panty stuff
that Virgin are offering at the moment.
Your bodybuilders will generally go for stuff like that anyway.
Yeah.
We prefer the hard stuff. We don't like the functional training.
You see, he's having me now. I'm a functional guy. Okay, it's fine.
Adding into that, I've always said, even with Tabani, functional, even Dev. Dev's not too big yet, but it's imperative to keep functional. I've got my son.
Just describe that a little bit.
I see the little champ over there.
Watching us there. So it's important for me to be able to run around with him and do stuff. Where a lot of old school guys.
They can't do that. They're just too big. They can't wipe their ass.
And now with my boxing background and that type of thing, I need to be active. I like to be active and fast.
Okay.
So what we're about to do is we're about to integrate boxing and conditioning into Dabani's prep as well as mine.
Because
after the Arnolds and that and getting results from guys, I've been re-inspired. So I'll probably look at wolfing on some motherfucker soon.
Cool.
It's a lot about your inspiration and your motivation at the time. You know, you need these types of things.
And David, your gym, which is your favorite gym?
I'd have to say it's my home gym, you know. Sunninghill.
Sunninghill Royal.
I grew up in that gym, and it's been around the area. It's the more, like we say, relatively rugged.
Old school. Rocky Balboa kind of gym. And yourself, Rhea?
I'm going to have to go with Bryanston. That's where I got my largest size.
The cute one.
But let me tell you, the woman at Bryanston. Bryanston, my boy.
Yeah. What's that machine where you open and close your legs?
Yes, no machine.
Okay, that's what, well, not that, and squats is my favorite one to watch in the gym. Because I know women do it as well. The gym is just like a sober club.
You just go
in there, checking people out. There's subliminal body messages. You're looking at people through the mirror, and she's like, I see you see me.
Testosterone shooting through the roof.
Have you ever picked up a girl from the gym, Devin?
My current girlfriend, actually, she's probably listening now.
That's nice. Match made in heaven.
I knew that that was obviously interesting.
She was the one. Carry on with your process. You're training now for IFBB, and what's happening?
So what'll happen?
What are you eating?
Oh, geez. It's not exciting. It's nothing to get, too excited about.
At a certain stage, everything starts just tasting the same. Right?
Yeah, I know. 100%. There's very little flavor in absolutely anything that you're going to eat. So the fish, the chicken, the rice, everything is unspiced, unflavored. There's no salt, obviously.
Take us through today's meal plan.
Okay, well, today, being a week out, generally is not going to be too much on the diet side. I've been struggling the past week with a bit of
Burger
sickness.
King side?
Yeah, generally after a show, you tend to have a bit of a pig out stage, and you fill out and you look, all the good stuff. So it's a lot more about, I think to speak about it, it would be better to speak about the prep before the show, actually. That's when it gets really rough, you know. That's when you're, like Chris was mentioning, your calorie counting and making sure that you know exactly what it is that's going into your body and what effect it will have on your body.
Yeah, what effect does an ice cream have on your day?
Oh man, it'll actually, the funny thing, it'll ruin your prep. Okay. 100%, yeah. But it'll make your day.
Ruin your paper, yeah, make your day. Multi-lane.
You'll probably you'll end up
going. So everything counts. That's what we're saying.
100%. Everything counts. Yeah. And the funny thing is that, you know, you'll probably, like, the reason why I say you'll end up having your best day, because those calories, those fats and oils and carbs that you're not used to, that are not part of your diet, that you have if you have, say, an ice cream, is going to spike your, it's going to give you the best, you're going to look your best, funny enough, in the gym on that day.
But not in the future, not for the competition.
Yeah, maybe not tomorrow.
It then ruins it for the rest of your prep. But your common prep is going to be something like, you're going to stick to things like fish, chicken. I incorporated ostrich into my diet this year to try and get a little bit bigger.
We're still stuck on the minced meat.
Pilchards, dog. We're still eating pilchards.
Just to add on what Devin was saying, man. The thing is, I don't think a lot of people understand bodybuilding and actually the fitness alone, it's a science. Just understand.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I can't give you the same diet. You can't, you know what I mean?
We're
going to react completely differently. And I'm saying now, the reason why I'm saying the ice cream will make his day, guys forget that when we're getting close to the comp, 4 weeks out, we're doing a carb drop. So we're dropping the amount of carbohydrates. So you niggas out there, like, having fun, having Rice Krispies and sugar pops and all that stuff. We're stuck eating egg whites every morning, bro. Every morning.
Yeah. Sometimes hike for breakfast.
I remember you telling me about your prep towards the Rossi Classic. You got to a stage where you were like even just chowing ice cubes because you weren't necessarily...
No, the water, on the water drops.
That's the water drop. So on the day, because you can't take in any water, but like I said, it's dependent on some athletes. So, I mean, so with me, I can't take in any water or else I start to bloat out. So my mouth was getting dry. I had to have like ice cubes. I didn't want to die. No one's going to help me out there. Listen, man. Yeah, my coach, he knows if I pass out, man, he's gonna be like, "Listen, so you said, get up, man." So
my back's against the wall. This is not a trail.
Help me.
All right, cool. So, Devin, what is the elimination process? Now we're getting to you becoming the winner. Elimination process. What is happening there?
Okay, so generally, what'll happen is on a normal show day, you're gonna have what is called a pre-judging, and then you're gonna have the main show. So your pre-judging is going to be in the morning. So generally a show will take the majority of your day as an athlete. You'll get there at about 8. Your tan has got to be sorted out. You've got to start carving
up. How do they do that tan exactly? What do you use?
Just with a spray gun, man. You stand
and
in a booth.
Do black people have to do that? Genuinely, because your skin tone is...
Hey, listen. Let me be privileged for once.
Be privileged. Say my skin is dope in this situation for once.
I thought you put Vaseline on tops.
But Vaseline is a black thing. We've been sussing Vaseline.
We're going there now.
You see, there's too much testosterone in this room. It might be about to be a fight.
They're petroleum jelly tips.
Nah, we're taking it easy. It's chill. Let me look
as long as it's not cocoa butter, man.
That's like the giveaway. That's the epitome of struggle. Cocoa butter, Marmite, what else? All right, cool. So, David, elimination. You've been through the first round. You've tussed that oil that y'all need to tuss.
Shiny.
Okay, so you do twice the first round and then another one.
So, yeah, you'll have your knockout period, which you'll depending on the size of your lineup, generally, like Tabani was saying, you know, you're going to have sometimes about 33, 34, 35 guys on a lineup, and they cut you down to top 15, top 10, top 6.
Yeah.
Then they announce the top 6. Top 6 goes through to the main show, which is generally in the evening. At Arnold's, it's slightly different. You know, they're going to have all of it at once. So I went on stage. I did pre-judging and main show all at once. So I didn't have to sit for about 5-6 hours waiting for main show.
That's for the juniors and the novice, huh?
Yeah.
When you go pro, it's split up.
Obviously, when you go pro, the pros had their main show where everyone comes to watch.
Yeah.
And before that, they had all the prejudging because prejudging can be quite
tedious.
Intense.
Is that where there was a whole lot of people on the stage at once?
It takes a while.
What does it feel like to be number in the top 6? Like at this stage now, did you expect to firstly be in the top 6 where you're like, okay, shit, now I've actually got a shot at the gold?
Yeah, well, that was exactly it. You know, getting an invite to Arnold, like I said, was something I never expected because I expected to go and watch the Arnolds, not compete in the Arnolds.
Yeah.
So that was something that obviously blew my mind, getting an invite to that. Then getting there and seeing my competitors and saying, okay, well, I actually have a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And coming away with the win was something that you can't really describe.
It's just surreal.
It's something else that you don't really believe it at
but
first.
But it's happening.
I
believe you.
Let me just add on top of that, man. Arnold's, there's like, I think, there's one Arnold's per continent. So he's a current champion in Africa right now.
No, the current junior champion, that's like a major.
And remember, he was going up against guys from Kuwait, Dubai,
all around the world,
and he's currently ranked number one now for Africa. So we want him to get another five.
Yeah.
I mean, chase Dexter Jackson down and be like, "Hey man."
He's been to Europe though.
Oh, okay.
He went to the Arnold in Spain.
He's being humble. No, that's cool. Let him be.
I want to actually ask Chris, from your knowledge as well, like the whole posing on stage and the way Devin had to do it, like from prejudging to elimination stages and the final six, that takes a lot of strain out in you. Give us your insight on that one.
Look, prejudging is the most important. It counts about a lot of times 70% to 80% of your full point range.
100%.
That's why I normally split into two. In the morning, you do a prejudging. In the show, as you said, it breaks down to like the top six, and then they go through to the show. All the other 33 can go home. All your other fucking losers
all your
go
hard
home.
Work,
right? Tops, how many times have you gone? I'm joking.
Not once. He's been there.
Any time every when Tom's holding a girlfriend's hand, man.
Deep. All right, so tell me, Arnold Classic, that happened last week, right?
This weekend.
Okay. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that, Chris. Did you meet
the
any of your heroes?
We had dinner with Dexter Jackson, Brandon Curry, Victor Martinez, Rolly Winkler, Marius Donay. Who else was there? Oh, my Freddie Big Smalls. The moonwalker himself.
The best routine
ever.
No, generally. Like, you know, when the guy hits the dougie, everything, like the dad.
He was moonwalking.
He's done with all of us.
Everything.
He just, like, you know, destroyed the stereotype of
stage,
what bodybuilders can do.
Yeah.
That's dope,
moonwalking, moving around. Yeah, he was the best.
So does that guy. if you do break those stereotypes, if you do posing or whatever, and you do decide to do a moonwalk or a young dab, does that
Arnold was the best poser as well. He believed in that. If you watch Pumping Iron, that was his study. He used to go to ballet classes to see how you intense the muscle and how you can make your physique look better, because it is art. I'm starting to believe that more and more. It is art. The more I get deep into it, it's art, because you might be an artist and you might be tagging walls and shit. We artists, while we're building
your body's
structure.
Your body's a sculpture.
Yeah.
And you're making it look as beautiful
as
you
can. And you display it on stage. We're bodybuilding, you have your pose downs, your posing routines, fitness models, all that type of thing. Just walk around, do like a T-walk, a few poses here and there. But bodybuilding, you have a separate 3-minute pose down, like a posing routine that you have to plan out. You get your own music for your own audio, all that type of stuff. And then you go through the motion. You can do what you want for the 3 minutes.
We'll obviously be a little bit more biased towards the bodybuilding side, but I mean, your fitness models will generally have maybe one or two poses, from what I understand.
A few quarter turns.
I've never done
the fitness side. Listen here, buddy. Let's
go into it more in the second half. I want to talk to you guys a little bit more about the difference between bodybuilding and being a fitness physique model, or what people of different body sizes should be going for, such as myself. How does a skinny nigga like me get around, you know? we're going to take a break. This has been a really dope conversation with the homies over here. We'll check you in a bit.
That's for everyone that feels they're not good enough. This prayer's for everybody that feels that they're too messed up. For everyone that feels they said I'm sorry too many times. You can never go too far when you can't come back home again. That's why I need...
Yo. That was Ultra Light Beam by Kanye West, you know, featuring Chance the Rapper. I don't know if y'all have you listened to Club?
Me?
Yeah.
Nah, not
I yet. Haven't listened to The Life of Pablo yet. I'm going to, but I feel like I should wait at least 5 years, because that's what Kanye West is like, dog.
Dog, coloring book. Chance the Rapper, he's doing some other...
I love Chance. Chance is the homie. I love Angels, same drugs.
Problems. You don't want zero problems,
and
big fella.
Blessings keep falling on my lap. Trust me, I resonate with that song. Them blessings are falling, y'all. Mm. And trust me, the only way to get them is if you go for them. So I'm here with Riabet, so we're going to talk a little bit about the news, because we don't want y'all being idiots out there. Let you know what's popping, what's going on in the world and in our country more specifically, since we are the dopest country in the world, right? Yeah, we are. All right, so the first one for me was the Kota Gate. I don't know how much you guys know about the Kota Gate, but people on Twitter have been losing their shit over the price of a Kota at Forest Hill.
This is Black Twitter, right?
Yeah, of course. Oh. Black Twitter always comes with the heat, dog. Black Twitter always comes with the heat. I saw a couple of funny tweets, something about like, we can't be free if Kotas are costing 28 Rand to this day. Yeah, that was the whole problem. Kota now costs 28 Rand, where Spatlu's always cost around 10 Rand, right?
Yeah, but my dude,
28.
Let me tell you something about 28 Rand.
Yeah.
I mean, wait, we take it as far back as high school. Remember when you used to go to the tuck shop with a 10 Rand, you could get a pint of Coke and change.
So I'm going to get a couple of Blue Moons.
Bruh.
Now a Kota, chips, bread, and polony costs you 28
French
Rand.
French.
These guys are killing us in life, bruh. Shit's just way too expensive, man. Okay, that's the Kota Gate that's been popping off on Twitter. Also, this is my favorite thing that's happened over the week, is that our boy Juju, Julius Malema, is pro marijuana, baby. Pro marijuana. That's the guy.
Donza.
I wish I could puff pass with Julius. I don't even lie. That would be the dopest shit ever.
Julius used to smoke with Zuma. I'm telling you.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Smoke. Look at him in Parliament. He's just on some like lax vibe. I ain't saying nothing.
But Zuma's one of those guys who fell off after patching. Because you know, after some people, weed is not for everyone.
Yeah, so Zuma smoked the Rand. The
taxi rank weed.
Yeah,
that matchbox.
The one where you, that laced shit.
Yeah.
That was Zuma's problem. But Malema's pro marijuana, which makes me love him even more than I already did. Jeez, dude, like, he's going to be the president. Surely.
Yeah.
After this, I'm sure he turned a few of the white people. Let's ask white people, guys, because I know you're scared. Yeah, I know you're scared. I can see you. It's okay, guys. Man. Oh, you too. But here you are.
Everybody's scared.
Okay, listen. Let me tell you why I feel like Julius Malema is the best leader. And obviously, we all have our different opinions. And for me personally, I'm not voting. I've even told my tweeps that I'm not voting ever again, just because I don't trust anyone enough to run the country. And I think there's a better system, a different system. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm not going to contribute to the broken one.
So that's
just got deep, real preaching.
Yeah. So that's the reason why I won't vote. But I'm saying, out of the people who are there, I'll push for Julius to be there, because a lot of idiots, they piss me off. They're like, oh, if you don't vote, what about everybody else? What if they said that? What if they didn't vote? It's like, that's never going to happen. The reason for democracy is because there's people who vote and there's people who don't. There'll always be people who vote. There'll always be people who don't. And those people who vote, I'd like to have at least maybe just a different idea of what could be. So Julius, for me, is about economic freedom, as his party states. And we know a time of change in this country, of revolution, where we're trying to get real equality, not the fallacy of Rainbow Nation. Yeah. So I think in terms of moving the working class forward, which is where economics starts from, in terms of growing your economy, in terms of moving the working class forward, Julius Malema is the best for that. Other than that, I don't really give a shit about anything else that's happening in the country, because economics is the first and most important.
First and foremost.
Yeah,
I believe. You've got to ask yourself, where would he be if he still stayed with the ANC, if they kept the naughty child in the closet?
You see, the thing is, why they kicked him out of the ANC is because I think he knew that this was bullshit.
No.
Yeah, he's smart in his own way, and I know a lot of the times probably what you're afraid of is that he can be volatile and erratic, but I see growth. Personally, I see growth, and that's it. But yeah, that's my thing on Julius. Julius wants to legalize marijuana. I'm like, hell yeah, bruh, I'll be there smoking it up with you one of these days.
Probably growing his own, and now he's going to put out the tender for it.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to be the first one. He's going to be the first one to put tax on weed.
I hope he's growing some white weed. That's all I need in my life.
Yeah,
poison is one, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, so the most hectic story since we last been here, I believe, is the child falling into the gorilla pit at the Cincinnati Zoo. Holy shit, man. I don't know if you guys have seen the video, but if you haven't, you should go and see it. It's the realest shit I've ever seen in my life. My God. Okay, so this child fell in. It crawled through a bush. 12 feet and fell down into a gorilla pit. There was a little lake, if I may call it that. Not even.
A moat.
Yeah. And the gorilla was there. It's like, holy shit, there's a fucking kid in here. What do I want to do? Yeah, so he was there. He was like holding it and shit. Like, and then eventually he started to trip out. He even wedgied the kid a little bit. And he was
he was just trying to listen.
Wait, confused,
yeah, and then he was. You could see the gorilla was like, didn't know what the fuck to do.
But the
and
child was chill.
Yeah. The child was very chill. The child was very chill. Yeah, it is.
Okay, it's a Jungle Book story. The homeboy was safe.
Yeah.
The
people overreacted.
And then, look after your kids.
Okay, wait. So, that's what we're going to get to. Because the gorilla did act aggressively at some stage. He did pull the child through the water. No, listen. He did pull the child through the water.
Yes.
But he probably pulled his own child through the water.
Exactly.
Yeah, but we don't understand that behavior in terms of
the animal
and human relation. Yeah. Once you start to see that, think about it from the parent's perspective. Once you start to see your child being dragged through the water like that at a quick pace by a gorilla, you are losing your shit. I don't care how aced you are, how many eggs you eat in the morning, Chobani.
You'll
fucking trip your balls out. So for me, it's not a fact. Like, they had to do something. And I suggested why everybody's obviously asking the question, why didn't they tranquilize the gorilla?
Yeah, exactly.
And the reason that seems to have come about is that the tranquilization of the gorilla could have caused him to panic. Because it takes time. A tranquilizer takes time to get effect. So the gorilla will obviously notice over time, it's like, oh shit, it's about to go fucking down. And we don't know what's going to happen to the child in that scenario. Because a gorilla conscious is a different thing from a gorilla unconscious. So in order to prevent the death, this is what could have happened, in my opinion. Of the gorilla, because it is this tragedy. I love gorillas. They are the most majestic. If there was a creature in the world that I want to be other than a human, would be a gorilla. That's a badass
goddamn silverback.
So then, in terms of stopping that from happening, I think one of two things could have happened. Somebody, a grown-ass man, was supposed to go inside there, try his luck, distract him, do something.
Distract him and someone grabs him.
The second option was for the parents to take better child of the fucking kid. Michelle Gregg, that's the name of the person who has the child. The crazy thing, it is a sad thing that the gorilla was killed eventually.
Sacrificed.
And the thing is, I don't see the boy's name come up anywhere. The gorilla's name is Harambe, and it stayed in Cincinnati Zoo. I don't see the boy's name come up anywhere. And obviously the focus should be on the gorilla, but that was something hectic for the child to go through for the parents to go through. And it's something that we can't necessarily prevent, but it shouldn't happen.
Let me tell you.
No, there were preventative measures, definitely. Thank you. If you kept an eye on your toddler crawling baby, that would never have happened.
But
they're obviously too consumed by the gorilla. They're like,
gonna say, where's Trina?
Oh,
shit. Where you at?
Yeah, they just come on and fall in a pit. And that's what's going to happen because children don't know what's going on down there.
Yeah.
But I feel sorry for the family because they are getting a lot of flack. The zoo wants to sue them for neglect of the child, which is rightfully so.
I tend to agree.
But I mean, like, as a mom, dog, like, I'm just Chris, you can tell me because you have children. It's already happened. I know. Let's say it wouldn't. It's unlikely to happen to you. I don't think you'd neglect your child in that manner. But let's say it's happened. Boom. Shit, your kid's in the pit. What now, bro? What now? You're the only one with a child, so I have to.
You know, whenever something's got him in danger,
social services.
I've got a friend that is probably a 40 caliber.
Sits
on my side, and he'd probably come out to play.
Alright. Oh, okay. So you'd pop a mezzle, you see?
But I would probably try and control the situation.
Yeah, more. I think a distraction
I would have tried to distract him. Across more than just go buck wild and try to shoot him and freak out too much.
But also
was the dad there or was just the mom?
I think it was just the mom. The dad was the dad there as well.
I think both of them
were there.
Okay, Daniel Dickerson is the name of the dad. I didn't see anything about him being there because I think the mom was there with another woman. But I don't know if the dad was there.
Exactly,
but
that's a whole different situation if both of them or just one.
Yeah, I think it was just one. I'll double check.
Ladies will tend to get a bit more emotional.
You could hear the video screaming straight away.
Yeah. And she should have rather kept calm and just seen and tried to distract the gorilla from the other side and then got them out.
Yeah.
I believe it looked tranquilizers. I don't believe that when he was getting unconscious, he would have done anything. But when that dart hit him, I think he would have flipped out.
Bro. Yeah, that's what I'm saying as well. That was,
could have thrown that kid.
Yeah, he could have done anything, bro. And how strong is a gorilla? And I was saying, I think this too is similarly to one of my favorite comedians, Lois Madinga. He was saying on Twitter, he's like, the problem isn't the zoo. I mean, the problem isn't the people, it's the zoo. It's not the people who shot the gorilla, it's not the gorilla, it's not the child, it's not the parents. The problem is that we have zoos. Children don't fall into rainforests.
Yeah,
no, that was the quote at the end. It's like, yeah, children don't fall into rainforests. Straight we up. Shouldn't force ourselves
to be in the cage.
Yeah, at all.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably the greatest issue. For
yeah, sure. That's true.
Yeah.
You guys are looking at the bigger picture, basically.
It's 2016. I don't think there should be any animals in captivity.
Yeah, dude.
Like that,
exactly.
To that extent.
We all know what freedom is, the idea of freedom, and we all know that animals
that's what
we experience
all fighting
that.
For,
yeah,
and yet
we're
throwing, we're
throwing
cages.
Animals, exactly.
You're
so
not even really seeing the animal in that. Well, that's what I believe, you know.
Yeah,
you want to go see an animal, you want to go see it in its natural habitat.
Yeah, yeah, that animal is depressed as shit. It's like that Cat Williams gag is like two tigers chilling in the zoo at a cave. They're like, hey, am I really a tiger? That's how depressed they're going to get, because they're not out there hunting, smashing meat and shit, because that's what you want to see when you see a tiger. Other than that, you're just there for the aesthetics. Oh, look how beautiful it is. Yeah. Let me Instagram this shit.
Who's this? Dion Eaglewood actually tweeted, I've seen Tarzan. That gorilla was going to raise the boy better than his own parents.
That's what we do. That's true. Yeah, so in terms of going back to the fitness, we're done with the news, guys. We've given you all the information. Go out there and be smart, young ones.
That's important stuff.
Yeah, that's very important stuff.
That's from you, Jay. I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
is he taking shots at me?
All day, dog, has been. Oh, it's today's day.
Why don't you just go coach Morphstock, bro?
Here we go.
We have a rebuttal in there. I'm
taking
it to the street.
I'm not the one with the glove inside the studio. So what do you have it on for?
Hey, bro, I don't want to catch anything from you.
Okay, we've all got two hearts. I told you. We're about to have a fight up in here. Gorillas and shit in this building.
Man.
So, yeah, going back to the conversation that we were having with our fitness and physique models, athletes. What do you prefer to be called, Christopher?
Athletes.
What is your athletes? Just athletes.
And then when you are one, then you can categorize yourself.
Okay, but specifically, because athlete is broad. Yeah. Are you competing in the Olympics? Do people,
a physique athlete.
Physique athlete.
Because even a bodybuilder is a physique athlete. The fitness model is a physique
bodybuilder
athlete.
Bodybuilder is a pretty acceptable term, I'd say.
Bodybuilder. Yeah, that's the idea I get behind it.
See, but a lot of guys, which you can't call a fitness model, it doesn't sound like an athlete. It's just called a fitness model.
Yeah,
but a physique athlete can kind of umbrella a bodybuilder, etc. So bodybuilder is more hardcore.
Okay, so let me start with you, Chris. Can you break it down in terms of the difference between the hardcore shit, the bodybuilding, which is what seems like everybody's aspiring
size,
towards,
mass, yeah,
size, mass. So where would you start if you want to be a bodybuilder? What weight group are you
in?
A
lot of guys, well, it depends on, again, on your genetics and your background, your sporting background.
Yeah.
But to start off with,
I want to compete as a bodybuilder. What size should I be?
If you decided to just go straight into bodybuilding, I'd say you'd have to get bigger, a lot bigger, because bodybuilding is size wise. You need to get big and conditioned.
But wouldn't you say that it's tradition from where it stems
from?
Oh,
yes, natural. Yes, like the classic physique, as we've seen. Look at Arnold and.
That's a whole other discussion.
All the main guys, compared to the guys now, the distortion, the stomach distortion, the unnatural look of it, the gut. As you saw, like, that's why I believe Rolly Winkler probably only came second now, huh? It's because his gut, again, in the body power where he won, his gut, he looked like he sorted his stomach out, his mid. Then the New York pro, Dexter beat him. And then they came over here and Dexter beat him again. And it's because of his distortion, his stomach distortion.
Hey. Let's be honest, that's a lot of reason why Kai Greene, I believe, gets a lot of flack. And that could be a very big reason for why he hasn't won the Olympia yet. You know?
And now everybody's trying to go, that's why they've added another category called classic physique, because it's the small waist, wide back, and then aesthetic and well balanced symmetry in your legs and your shoulders and your upper body.
Yeah, your golden era.
Your golden era. Yeah. That's what it's called.
All right, cool. Your golden era.
Yeah, because that's Arnold, and that's who started it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And Jay Cutler. Cutler.
He's quite new school.
Oh, okay.
Ronnie Coleman's, the Jay Cutlers, all that type of
new school. Yeah, those are the guys I know. Like when I started out at
the
gym.
Anyone that's coming into now, even if you go onto YouTube, you can go back into history, you know, from a thing like the 1970s or 1980s going forward. Then you can see, like, the golden times, Arnold's times, and then you can see a difference now. Our guys are, like, maybe, what, a good 20 kilos heavier than the guys back then?
And about 10 centimeters shorter.
Yeah. So the competition has inflated, like most sports.
Yes. Of course. Well, look, people want to come and they want to see a show. I understand Heath and them saying that, where they don't want to see something natural.
Uh-huh.
They come to see a show. So not that it has to be a freak show, look where it's going, but there needs to be...
They want to see the beast, they want to see Goliath, they want to see the mountain from Game of Thrones, okay.
They want to see something that is...
not unacceptable, but unseen.
Unseen before.
Like me.
Okay, so that's bodybuilding. You want to be the biggest, baddest motherfucker. You want to be that wrestler mark. Yeah. And toned, obviously, you still have to look...
Hard, tight, shredded, and huge. Yeah, full
body. Yeah.
But having said that, I mean, I would like to obviously put my input there. I think, your bodybuilding is going to be a lot more about your size, obviously. But it's about at least 10% that size actually covers in terms of your mark allocation.
Okay.
So, I mean, if it were true, that's also part of the stereotype, I believe, is that a lot of people think that to be a bodybuilder, you just have to be big.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think that I've kind of changed, well, I've proven that not only to myself, but to others that want to see.
Yeah. You don't have to be huge. Yeah, I mean, you just have to be full.
And you can see I'm not by no means large, and I'm not like that stereotypical bodybuilder frame.
Yeah, the Guido from Jersey Shore. You're not that guy. Yeah,
there's no way that I'm gonna fit that image.
Yeah,
and to be honest, I never thought that I would be in this category.
Yeah,
and having tried it out and listened to a few of the people that were actually in the industry and who had competed and said to me, it's a tenth of the equation. You've got so many other factors that come into it. Your definition, your conditioning, your everything. So I mean, that's gonna be the big point behind what I want to say today. Actually, is that it's not just a stereotypical big guy
or beef head.
There's more of an art to it, which
course,
is cool.
Of course,
okay,
course.
Cool. We're just about to wrap up, so I'm gonna start with you, Tabani. Just tell us where people can find you. Inspirational quote. What keeps you motivated during your training, etc.
Yeah, the guys can catch me on Instagram at Athlete Fitzmoyo, also on Facebook as well, and then I'm slowly moving on to YouTube as well. Once I organize a camera for myself, a proper HD one.
GoPro.
Don't do any rubbish right now. But yeah, man, and then, holler at me at 076-781-7464, then we can maybe set up some training programs.
Oh, and yourself, Chris?
Instagram account private at I'm the Diamond, Diamond Nutrition, where we house all our athletes, and our brand is at Building Athletes. On Facebook, it's /4 for athletes by athletes. Go check us out. We're open to any discussions and information and advice. I mean, we'll be raw. We're not going to sugarcoat shit.
Oh, yeah. I felt that today. You guys are the realest.
Get you where you need to be.
Oh, yeah. And yourself, Devin?
Yeah, well, obviously, you can catch me on Twitter. On Instagram. I'm Devin Juju. Yeah, that's Juju, J-U-J-U.
Juju, also your boy. low-key.
And then, obviously, on Facebook as well. Yeah, just obviously, I don't train people per usual as a career. But obviously, I'm always up for chats, always up for advice and for
banter,
speaking.
And
spreading what the real thing is about.
Building the industry.
It's been really great knowing you guys and knowing what you guys are doing. I'm definitely sure we're going to have you guys on in the future, because it seems like there's a lot to talk about here that many people just don't know about. So we'll definitely have you back. But it's been so awesome hanging with you guys. My name is Malcolm Julie. I've been your host. We are the worst guys, and we are out.
This is CliffCentral.com.